Well, first, I want to congratulate you on your world championships. That was great. You won three gold medals in the 500-meter sprint, the 20,000-meter elimination, and the marathon. You must be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I feel great actually, being my first senior gold medals individually.
And not only that, but you had mononucleosis in August, in early August, and were unable to attend the 2 week training camp at the Olympic Training Center, but you still were able to come back, even though you weren't sure, as I understand it, whether or not you'd be able to compete in the longer distance races.
Right. All during the first part of the mono, I was feeling really weak and I was still trying to skate. And I think I came down with it when I was at internationals competing. I was getting night sweats and I was just really cold all the time, and I had cold symptoms, and I think that's really when it started coming on. And I didn't perform very well at internationals. So, based on that, and then coming home and trying to skate a little bit more, I had no idea how I was going to perform after I got done with the mono, because I was in bed for a month straight. I didn't really leave my house for 3 weeks. And I just really had no idea exactly how I was going to perform when I got to China.
About when did you then get out of bed?
Really, I stayed in my living room. I had a little blow-up bed that I stayed down there just because it was easier. I didn't have to walk up down the stairs if I wanted to eat or something, because my dad works nights and I'm pretty much there by myself. So I didn't leave my living room really until, I don't know, 2.5, 3 weeks. And then, I started going outside a little bit, walking around to see how I felt, and I was getting better gradually.
And when then did you start training again before Worlds?
I went back to my doctor about a month, right about a month after he diagnosed me with mono, for a checkup, and he cleared me to skate. And at that point, I had 10 days left before I left for China. So I went out and I pretty much trained as hard as I could just to see where I was.
How did you feel?
I felt really good, actually. The first couple of days, I was really, really good. From all that rest, I went out and skated a marathon, and then later that same day, I skated like 12 more miles. I felt good. And then the next day, I was a little bit fatigued, and I skated it easy. And then that third day, it was really, it hit me. I was like, man, I'm really not in shape because I'm really tired right now. I'm just not recovering. And I just went from there pretty much. Skated easy till I left for China. When I got to China, we had a couple of days of training. I think it was 5 days of training or something like that, to ease the track and everything. And first day, I felt really, really bad because the jet lag. And the second day, I got a little bit better. Third day, I felt the best I had felt when I was there, except for a couple of days of the competition. The days that I won, I felt pretty good, obviously. But after that third day, I came back for a fourth day of training and getting used to the track, and I was just really exhausted. I had sore muscles and everything. It was really bad. So I didn't skate the next day. And I think that sixth day was opening ceremonies, and then we skated after that.
How did you feel then on the first day? The first day, I believe, was what, the 200 or the 300 meter?
300 meter, I felt decent. I wasn't, over the top. I didn't feel really confident. So I didn't skate the long race that day. I gave it up. Not really gave it up, but I opted not to skate it. And I did okay in the 300. I got fourth.
Right. You had set the fastest time in the trials.
Right, and the heats, whole different ball game. Most time, everybody's a lot faster in the final. I think I just pretty much went out there in heats and gave it everything I had. And after that, I was a little bit fatigued. And even though we had a long, long time to rest, I still think that, that one really did it for me and took a lot out of me. So it was hard to recover from that. That's what I was having the biggest problem doing, is recovering. I was still pretty fast, but after a couple starts, a couple days of the training, usually when I'm training, my starts will get faster and faster as I do more and more. I'll drop, half a tenth on each start, or, a couple hundredths or whatever on the 300-meter start for the first 100 meters. And when I was in training and we were doing times, I was losing time. I would go from like a 9.5 to a 9.7 or whatever.
Yeah. Then what, it was a few days later you won your first gold medal.
Yep, 500 meter. Pretty much, I just talked to Doug Glass a little bit about strategy, and he told me, you should win the start, it's absolute must on a 500 meter flat track because it's really, really hard to pass that track. He said, I win the start, and he said, your finish line is the first 100 meters. You finished that in first, and you got it, no problem. So I pretty much opened up almost as hard as I could and jammed a little bit in the corners and hard as I could down the straightaways, and ended up being the right deal.
So this was Doug Glass who gave you this advice.
Right. He usually, even when I skated for Hyper, and he, of course, is the manager of Power Slide. He's always been there, helped me out. In Italy, it was my first year senior. I was a little bit intimidated. Actually, I was a bit intimidated. I was probably one of the faster guys there with capabilities of winning a couple gold medals in individual races. And I don't know, I just couldn't pull my head out of my butt. And he tried to keep me encouraged and tell me what to do and work the strategies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So then how did the 500 meter go?
I just won the start, and the rest is history. I just stayed in front.
Yeah.
And I think the time ended up being in the low 43s or 42 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty fast for a flat track.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was one of the better feelings I've had.
You seem to get a lot of praise for your performance in the 20,000 meter elimination.
Yeah. Honestly, that victory felt way better than the 500. I don't know, I think maybe because I wasn't sure if I could actually last a long race, and you know, that pretty much proved to myself that I can do it and I have the ability to skip my mind to it. I don't know, when I came across the line and after the 20K, it just felt so much more. I don't know, just the feeling was so much better than the 500, even though it was my second one.
It sounds like that was a pretty tough race with a lot of people trying to hang on to the lead and fighting against being eliminated and
right.
Pushing and shoving. And
mm-hmm.
What was the key for you?
I just pretty much try to stay in the front of the pack. I try to demand respect from everybody and give everybody respect back, because, you know, when you stop letting people in, they don't let you in, and you just got to, you know, pick your battles and you got to be smart about what you do.
Tell me something. How do you demand and give respect in a race like that?
You just pretty much... Well, giving respect is easier because, you know, if somebody wants in, you let them in. You make your presence known. You know, they know who I am. I've been around, you know, I was very successful as a junior, and, you know, a lot of the senior guys know who I am. I was there last year, racing senior. And you just, you know, if they don't let you in, you make sure you get in, and you make them realize that it'd be useless to, you know, fight you because you're just wasting energy because you're going to get in anyways.
How do you do that? How do you get in when people are not allowing you, you know, giving you a gap to move into?
Either go in front of them a little bit and then, you know, really not act like you're getting in and then make a fast move to get in, or dip under them, or pass before the corner. I mean, there's many ways to do it.
Uh-huh.
It's given the situation, just, you know, being instinctual.
Sounds pretty tough.
It's fun, actually.
And then you won the gold medal in the marathon. That must have been a huge victory for you.
Yeah, that was amazing. I just, you know, the teamwork of all my teammates was excellent. Out of all the world championships I've been to, I've never seen USA work that good in the senior men's marathon, ever. Usually everybody gets out there and, you know, they have a plan, but it's nothing like it was this year. It was just amazing.
You went out of your way to thank your teammates. I guess that was Sebastian Cano, Michael Cheek, Chris Kreveling, Jonathan Garcia, John O'Gorman, and Josh Wood.
Right.
How did you guys all work together to land you on the podium with the gold medal?
Really, the plan was everybody stay together, which didn't really end up working out right because there were so many breaks and the race is just really, really fast. I mean, for up and back course, it was, I think, like an hour and 2 hours and 3 minutes, which is very fast for up and back. We just, you know, tried to pick who was going to chase what breaks, and everybody really listened to me. If I needed somebody to chase something or whatever, you know, then they would do it. And actually, one time, the main break that got away was three of our skaters, Michael Cheek, Sebastian, and Jonathan Gorman. And they got away on, it was a pretty large breakaway, actually. I don't know the exact amount of people that were on it. But they got, I think, at 1.40 seconds ahead of us, maybe even more. And I was just looking over, and I noticed that, you know, France had their fastest guys in there, and Colombia had some of their fastest guys in there. And at that point, I knew I just had to, you know, try to catch that break. You know, nothing against my teammates, but I just thought, if, you know, I needed to be there for the win. And I took off on my own break to catch that break. And they chased, the main pack chased for a little while. And eventually they gave up because I was pretty much in front, going almost as hard as I could to get away for a long time. And after that, Josh Wood does his own breakaway to catch up to me, which was perfect. Not planned at all. He just, you know, instinct told him to go, and he caught up to me. We worked together to catch the main pack. And after we did, it was awesome because, you know, they weren't going very fast, but the chasing pack wasn't going fast either because there was only two or three laps to go. They knew the race was pretty much over. And everybody else had a teammate in the lead pack. And we had, at that point now, we have five guys, so I was thinking the odds are pretty good. And coming down to about one lap to go, we were in the front. Josh was in first, and I'm in second. And the other two guys, I think Sebastian was right behind me, and then John was right behind him, or it might have been reversed. And we come down to the turnaround point, about 1,500 meters to go. Actually, about 1,200 meters to go. Coming down, it's almost all straight now. There's one little curve, slight curve to come down to the finish line. And Josh is leading, not very hard. And he starts picking it up a little bit. And I'm telling him, you know, pick it up. And he eventually, you know, is getting pretty much almost down to a sprint. And at that point, everybody's in a straight line waiting for the initial break for the sprint. And Michael Cheek, out of nowhere, comes up from the back of the pack and gets in either behind Sebastian or behind John and caused a lot of ruckus. So it was perfect for me. I mean, I didn't tell him to do it, but he just did it. I don't know what made him do it, but it was perfect because it caused everybody to kind of spread out. And at that point, there was about 500 meters to go, and I took off, and everybody else pretty much just stood up and, you know, made themselves a hard object to get around, and I made all the way to the finish line with about a 10-meter lead, and that was probably the coolest thing ever, you know, having all my teammates work for me like that.
It sounds like nobody exactly let out that sprint.
Josh Wood pretty much initiated.
He did, huh?
The first part of the build-up.
Okay.
And he was going about 90% by the time, I know, I jumped out pretty early, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get out of there before somebody else did and get stuck. So I just took off, and, you know, I didn't look back.
I see. You had a pretty successful junior career. You had a very successful junior career in the Junior World Championships. Is it a big change to move up to the senior division?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a huge change. I would say if you're fast in junior, you can win a medal easily. I mean, if you're the fastest guy there, you'll win every single gold medal there is, just because, you know, speed defines the champion in junior, I would say. In senior, you have to be fast, and you have to be very smart also. You can't just be, you know, you can't just go out there and win on pure speed alone. There's too many guys that are so close to the same speed when it comes down to a field sprint that, you know, nip you at the line or whatever. And I just think that this year was a big year for me learning-wise. You know, coming through mono, I might not have been the fastest guy there, so I had to look to alternatives and find, you know, another way to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to use my head this year, as opposed to Venezuela year where I could just go out and do whatever I wanted, you know.
The Venezuela year was, what, 2 years ago at the junior world champion?
Last year, junior, I won 10 gold, yeah. 2 silver.
Wow, yeah. You came to inline skate racing kind of by chance, it sounds like. Renee Hildebrand, your coach, was early for practice one day, and she said she saw this blonde-haired boy flying around the track, and that was you.
Yeah, I was probably the biggest rink rat ever.
You were a rink rat.
I was the biggest. I had never missed a Friday or Saturday night session. And sometimes I would go to all nights, you know, 7 to 7 on Friday. And then next morning, Saturday morning, I'd be there, you know, at 10 or 11 o'clock, whatever, for the morning or afternoon session.
Did you say all nights that were 7 to 7?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning?
That's right. Yeah, the funnest thing ever. Everybody always looked forward to the all nights. I was probably, at that point when I was doing all the session skating, for the late night sessions and stuff, I was probably, you know, 12, 13 at that point.
Oh, I see. Now, when you were just spotted by Renee at that time, you call yourself a rink rat. What did you like to do at the rink?
I just love going, and I don't know, it seemed like every time I get there was a special pair of rollerblades they had that I needed. So, you know, I would rent skates, and I knew the floor guards and everything, and they were real cool, and I always asked for the same pair of skates, and I don't know, I just loved it. I always looked forward to going.
What did you enjoy? Did you enjoy doing tricks or just going fast?
No, I just love going fast, man. Every chance I would get, they'd be blowing the whistles at me, slow down, I loved it.
Uh-huh. How old were you when you started on Team Florida?
I would say I was 9.
How did you like going regularly to practices and having that discipline and working with Renee?
It wasn't like having to go. I loved it so much. It was, you know, first couple of years I was begging to go to every practice, and you know, after that, of course, you know, it loses its, you know, its novelty. And a couple of times I didn't want to go to practice. My dad would make me, of course. and thankful for that now. But yeah, he always kept me in it. My parents are really supportive. That's the main thing, I think, of my success is, you know, my coach and my parents.
Yeah.
For sure, because, you know, without them, my dad and mom put everything into it. Every penny they had went into my skating.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. They're broke now. so I could be successful, and, you know, I'll never forget that.
And that was flying you around to different events and things like that
yeah,
would cost,
I mean,
so much money.
Skating's not a cheap sport.
No.
Basically, you get a lot of airfares and hotel fees and all that alone.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit.
Yeah. About Coach Renee, she's not only your coach, but also the coach of Brittany Bowe and Emily Scott. And it seems like she's had an amazing success with speed skaters. What do you attribute her success to?
I couldn't tell you. She's just a very knowledgeable coach. She knows what should be done at what times, and she does a lot of research. She puts a lot of effort into what she does. She has books and books she just reads, and she's really dedicated to what she does, and I think, you know, dedication can make anybody successful.
Mm-hmm.
She's really dedicated. With her periodization programs and everything that she does. It's just amazing to see her in action.
What do you think's made you so successful?
I don't know what it is with the presence of Renee being at practice, but I've noticed that when she's not there, I really don't care, you know, if I finish drills or... Usually I do, but it's just not the same. Like, it's always like I want to impress her or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. I think everybody new that comes to practice is the same feel, just because it's Renee and... I don't know, she just has this thing about her that, you know, you want to impress. So when she's there, you're always giving 110%. And I think that's one of the main things I owe my success to.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans for this coming year, 2006?
I'm staying with Power Slide for another year. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to continue skating as I was, and train. My main focus will be Worlds, of course. I'll do a couple international marathons, and just hope to go to outer nationals and do good, make the team and everything, go to Worlds and get a few more gold medals. Internationals, I'd like to win internationals this year. Again, that'd be nice, although easier said than done.
And when you say internationals, you mean the Inline World Cup?
Yes.
It's such a great race series. And I believe you participated in, or you raced in 4 World Cups this year, right?
That sounds about right.
And You did well. You know, you placed, I think, in the top eight in three of the four that you were in.
Right.
And you did that without having a really strong team. You skated once or twice with Chad Hedrick, I believe.
Right. Well, the funny thing about that is, you know, I was so excited to skate with Chad, and that's really the main reason I wanted to skate for Power Slide. So I could skate with Chad, you know, learn a lot. And unfortunately, the two races that we did together were in the rain. So I mean, you can't really do a whole lot when you're in the rain. You can't really, you don't have the, you know, freedoms to move around and break and such like that when you're in the rain. It's just different kind of racing.
Uh huh.
So those are the two races I didn't do so well. And actually, Korea was the worst first race.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably my first race to finish in the rain. It wasn't even raining, really. It was just really wet, and I had a rough time. I couldn't really handle the rain, and I was pretty much hanging on for dear life the whole marathon. By the time I got on, I was really exhausted.
You must be always pretty exhausted at the end of a marathon.
It depends on your teammates. I mean, the last two I've done, Duluth and Berlin, I had one teammate in each of those that I was actually racing with, and it's just hard because you have to chase pretty much every break, you know, between the two of you. That's a lot of chasing.
Yeah.
And Duluth, I chased about 15 or more breaks, and that pretty much wears you out. Fortunately, the last mile, I don't know, it's just there's something about the last mile of the marathon that gives you like super recovery, and prepares you for the sprint.
Uh huh.
Luckily, I always recover pretty well for the last mile.
Have you ever thought of trying to win a spot on one of the top World Cup teams?
I've been offered by a few of them actually, and I'm really not interested. Reason being that I don't want to live in Europe. And, you know, if you are part of a big team like that, and you go to a lot of races over the season, and I'm just not interested in that right now. I'd rather stay in the United States, and I'd rather go to school and finish school before I start doing some stuff like that.
Now, are you in school now?
No, I'm not. I keep putting it off, actually, because, you know, lack of time, which is a bad excuse, but I think next year, starting in the fall, I'm going to apply and go. Maybe just community college and get some classes done. You know, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned before that one of your goals is to skate in the Olympics.
Yeah, I like doing the Inland World Cup, although it's not one of my main focuses right now because, it's based in Europe, which is a bit inconvenient. But, you know, I deal with that. And I would like to go to the Olympics in 2010. For long track, any chance I get, I'm really going to go out and try to get on the oval in Utah and stay with either Casey or Chad and see what I can get done out there. If I like it, you know, something I'll pursue. If not, then stick to inlines for a while.
Do you have any specific plans for starting to train on ice?
Not really. Right now, it's kind of just like an idea thrown up in the air. Seeing as it's only 2005 right now, and 5 years away till the next Olympics that I'm going for. I'm not really worried about it right now. I'm enjoying inlines right now, and I'm not really finished doing what I need to do in inlines, I don't think, to be able to switch over yet.
What more would you like to do on inlines before you?
I'd like to be a little bit more successful in the marathons that I'm doing. You know, fifth and sixth is okay, but I'd rather be consistently, you know, top 1, 2, 3. Every time.
Do you think you can do that without skating in a strong team?
I think anything's possible. It's definitely not going to be very easy at all. It's going to take a lot of, you know, training and a lot of brains. It's going to, you know, to be smart out there. But I definitely think it's possible.
You work at Home Depot.
Right.
And you're part of their
Olympic job program.
And as I understand that, they give you a full-time salary, but all you have to do is work 20 hours a week. And the idea is that way you have time to train.
That's correct.
How is that working out for you?
It's actually awesome right now. It's probably one of the best opportunities I've ever been given as far as being able to work and train at the same time. It is my first job I've ever had, and to be honest, I don't really like working, but it's hard for me to give up such a, you know, a good job, and you know, they treat me very well, and I appreciate everything they do for me. And the fact that I, you know, I could just tell them, oh, I'm going to Germany for a week, and I'll be back, is the coolest thing ever, because, you know, who can do that at their job? Just say, oh, I'll be gone. I really don't have to put in for time. And it's just, it's amazing.
What do you do at Home Depot?
I started off outside as a loader, and that was all right for, you know, the first month or two, and then it got a little old, so I asked if I could move inside. And since my schedule was so up and down, they decided that it'd be best to put me as a cashier because there's always so many cashiers at, you know, at work at a present time. If I was in an apartment, then if I wasn't there, then they'd be, you know, kind of shorthanded. So they decided to put me as a cashier. So that's what I've been doing ever since.
And do you regularly still attend Team Florida practices?
Oh yeah, of course. I think it's probably one of the most important parts of my training is going to practice on a regular basis. I think that's one of the most important parts of anybody's schedule. Actually, of anybody's training is a schedule. You know, when you don't have a schedule to stick to, it makes everything a little more hectic, and it's important for everybody to have a training schedule. So bye-bye.
I'm curious. You're one of the top skaters in the world. What kind of a skate setup are you on nowadays?
Right now I'm on the Power Slide core boots with the Power Slide frames and Matter wheels.
What size? I mean, what size wheels and frames?
Wheels outdoor, I'm running 190, 100, 100, and the frame is a 12.8. Indoor, I'm running 84s on a 13.2.
So what about at Worlds where it was all outdoors?
I ran everything 190, 100, 100 on 12.8.
I'm curious, what kind of advice does Chad Hattrick give you?
I haven't really talked to him much lately. We only hung out twice, really.
I see.
Two meets that we did together. You know, he just encouraged me, tells me that, you know, stick with it. At one point in my season this year, I was, you know, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to keep skating or not. I think I might have been a little bit sick, you know, getting the first parts of mono, I think. And I just wasn't performing well, and I was always tired, and I really wasn't motivated to do anything. And I was talking to him a little bit about it, and he said, he just told me that, you know, every athlete goes through that. You know, if you want to be the best, it's really when you got to decide if you want to stick with it or not. And those pretty encouraging words coming from, you know, 50-time world champion.
Yeah. Okay, Joey. Well, I really appreciate your time. It's been great talking with you.
Thanks.
And good luck for the rest of the season and next year.
Thank you.
Bye now.
See you.